Matthew chapter 28, we're in lesson 101, and we left off last lesson with verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, it is important to notice that they go to Galilee. Remember last lesson? He said, go tell him and I'll meet you in Galilee. And so Galilee, before he was crucified, Jesus is telling his disciples that they're going to forsake him. And Matthew 26:32 says, But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So even before he was crucified, he's telling the disciples, I'm going to Galilee. Matthew 28, verse 7 says, And go quickly and tell us, disciples, that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. So he's continuing to tell him that, hey, Jesus is going to Galilee after he dies. And verse 10 of that passage, it says, And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Christ is going to meet his disciples where? In Galilee. Not in Jerusalem where he just died, but in Galilee. And when they get there, they go up on a mountain, and a mountain in the scriptures is a prophetic type of what? What a throne or a kingdom. That's what Matthew is all about, is portraying Christ as God, as king, king. And you notice everywhere he goes up on a mountain and he starts dispensing the law or dispensing the news about the kingdom. He goes up into the mountain in Galilee. It's although he is pointing to that kingdom once again. And Galilee, like I just shared, is very important in the book of Matthew. Very, very important. In essence, when he's telling the disciples, he says, Hey, fellas, I am with you and I trained you. I died and I'm resurrected now. And now we're going to start. It's almost like we're going to start over. Or we're going to continue what I told you to do. And his ministry, let me ask you this. When did Christ's ministry begin, according to the book of Matthew? You remember that way back then?
Yeah. When he was about 30 years old.
In baptism, but remember what chapter?
Chapter 3.
Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. He begins his ministry with them in Galilee. He says, verse 12, it says, Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into where?
Galilee.
It's almost like he's getting out of town. You know, he just threw John in prison. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea of coast and borders of Zebulun and, what's that, Naphtalim? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At that time when he started to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and it don't stop till you get all the way up here where we're at now, or in Matthew, okay? If you notice, where was that at? Well, okay. It don't stop till he preaches, he begins to preach in Matthew 16:21, where he changes about the death, burial, resurrection, I should say. He begins his preaching of the kingdom of heaven in Galilee. He begins with rejection of John the Baptist. And he moves up into Galilee and he stays there for the rest of his ministry. That's where he's at up in that area. And in Matthew chapter 9, you see him come back down from Galilee. And where is he going in Matthew chapter 19? To Jerusalem. Yeah, he takes a trip down to Jerusalem for the feast days. But the center of his activities is in Galilee, up there. And that's where he pulls every one of his disciples except one. And one was from down south of Galilee. And you know who that was?
Judas.
He's from Judah area. With the rejection of John and John's message of preparing the way for the king goes away as exile up into Galilee, and that's where he calls his disciples. And there he trains his disciples and he ordains his disciples there. And there he commissions them and sends them out. You remember Matthew 10? Go not in the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's from there that he is rejected by the nation, and that rejection is demonstrated, and how he goes from that nation and gets that little remnant of people, and those people who were not my people. Remember that over in, I think, of Hosea, say, people that's not my people? Well, was a little flock of people.
Yeah.
Was a little flock of people. Yeah. It wasn't part of the nation. But he says, I'm going to take out of that people a people that was not my people.
Right.
That's what he's referring to there. Okay, yes, they was a physical people, but yet it was not a people that God had chosen to do his work on earth. It was a nation, wasn't it?
Right.
And he takes that remnant of people, and they see a great light. That's what it said he would do. Go up into Galilee, and that people that was blind and all, they would see a great light. And out of the Galilee, there he brings that little flock. And he calls them a little flock, don't he? And we know by studying the scriptures, he says, it's my Father good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. That little flock, not you and I, but that little flock of remnant believers. As we discussed earlier, there's always little remnants of believers. You know, that's why it don't bother me if people don't believe the message of grace and the dispensation of grace through a Pauline method of believing. That don't bother me. Well, I shouldn't say it don't bother me. Let me put it this way. It don't surprise me that there's only a little group of people that understands this out of the whole world system. He now says, I am resurrected. I'll meet you up there where we began. And he's going back and almost like starting over again. You see what I'm saying? He connects his resurrection ministry with that remnant of Israel, with that little flock. He don't connect, it's not connecting the kingdom message. Now it's a resurrected message with that little flock, that little remnant believers. And his post-resurrection ministry, if we think about it, is as though he is saying, we're going out and give them a new opportunity. You know, because once he died and buried and rose again, you can't offer the kingdom. I mean, should I say that way? Or you can't, the kingdom's in our hand no more, I should say.
What about okay? The apostles that went out preaching?
Okay, they're going to offer it. That's where I'm at now. Okay, it's almost as if, here what I'm trying to say is, after he died and buried and rose again, the kingdom in hand is not there no more.
Because
the king's gone. The king's in exile. But he does come back with a post-resurrection ministry to a little group of believers and going to give the nation Israel another opportunity to believe.
So that's what he was saying whenever he said, are you going to start the kingdom again?
That's the first question in Acts that you think about in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. He says, when will you again restore the kingdom to Israel? They knew about a kingdom here. They knew what the Lord Jesus Christ taught them, that they was going to sit on a throne judging 12 tribes. And now he's died and buried and rose again. Where's the kingdom at? So that's the question they ask. But this right here is an opportunity about a resurrection ministry that he's going to that little flock to give them opportunity. Because what did we study last week? That the first fruits, who was the first fruits of a resurrection?
The little flock would be
Jesus Christ. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. And only that is the first. And that, everybody is resurrection now that believes in the death, burial, resurrection is fashioned like his resurrection. We compared Lazarus, remember? Lazarus, they said, he said, unbound him, untie him. When Jesus came out of the ground, nobody untied him. The clothes were still there. So the resurrection ministry is going to go right back over there with that little remnant, and he's going to give that nation a renewed opportunity of repentance, and that's what he does. That's why Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 goes, and even 8, it's giving Israel, not the nations, but Israel that didn't believe, that little remnant, giving them an opportunity to believe. Matthew 28:17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some what?
Doubted.
Some doubted, like who?
Thomas.
Y'all remember Thomas, right? Mm-hmm. And Christ says, blessed are they that believe, even though they haven't seen. That's faith. You know, we talked about faith. I believe the Bible's definition of faith is Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things not seen, but evidence of things... Okay? Don't misquote that, didn't I? But anyway, you got it right. If you can see it, it's no longer faith. So that brings up the object of belief. He said, blessed are them that believe it, that hasn't seen it. So belief and faith, if you think about it, they're really two different things. Because I have faith in the death, burial, and resurrection. I haven't seen it. But if I've seen it, it's no longer faith.
But it's evidence of things also to prove it that it's true.
I had faith that you guys would be here today. And now that you're here, I can believe it.
You see the evidence.
You know, okay? And some blessed, they are more blessed than those who have seen. But there's still a mixed multitudes in that mist, aren't they? Of that remnant, of that nation, and some doubt it. You got people today you're working with in this message, they want to believe it, but they just don't see it. And they see other things. And so they start to doubt. And you know what? They start to, if they can't harm the messenger, they start affecting the message. You know, and that's why I believe there's so many Bibles out there. They got Bible for everything you want to believe anymore. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That post-resurrection commission concludes the book of Matthew when he tells them that. And in each gospel and in the first book of Acts, there are recorded a commission that Christ gives his apostles and his followers between his resurrection and his ascension. And we call it the post-resurrection commission. If you ever heard that term, that's what this is all about. And we have already given that one his earthly ministry, and now in his earthly ministry, he had a commission, right? He gives them commission. Now he has a post-resurrection commission. And notice in verse 18, and Jesus came. That's a type of the second coming, by the way. See, this is where you're at now. You're up there in Galilee, and he's going to teach them disciples. There's some things going to happen. So Jesus came, that's a type of the second coming, and he spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Let me ask you something. Therefore, why are they to go?
Because they're one.
They're one. But what does the verse say?
Because all power is given to him?
Amen. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and do these things. Hey, I might get ahead of myself, but did he have all powers in heaven and earth when he was on this earth?
Yeah.
You say yeah, you say yeah, you say no. Did he have all powers of heaven and earth on this earth? He didn't demonstrate them, did he?
No. Not until he's 30 years old.
This commission is associated with his kingdom and the right to reign in the earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. The commission in the Gospel of Matthew is a commission that fits right over here in this millennium kingdom. Sure. That's what it's all about, his throneship. It's commission that looks to the kingdom. It is a commission that is given and to be carried out in light of the flat fact that all power in heaven and earth is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where he's committing it. He didn't commission the 12 to go out and preach about a heavenly kingdom, that you're seated in heaven, that you have all spiritual blessings. It's about an earthly, vertical, literal, physical kingdom. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. That's a prophetic statement. Not at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor today, is he exercising all power in heaven and earth, is he? Think about it. We asked him to do everything. We asked him to give us a little kitty cat. You know, that type of thing. Is all powers in heaven, is he exercising things like that? We talk about prayer and, you know, and baptism and all that stuff. There's a very touchy subjects out there, but we know God can do anything, don't we? But if he can do anything and you ask for anything, what good is this book?
That book demonstrates whether he's going to do it or not.
That book is what you believe.
Rightly divided.
You know, rightly divided. Amen. And the power is in heaven and earth is by the right, but he by assumption of authority. That's his authority. But it's yet. You with me? It's yet. Hebrews 2:8. Get Hebrews 2:8. And Revelation 5. And Revelation 11. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. Once again, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth, not at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, or what at the time now in the dispensation of grace of God is all things are given to him in heaven and earth. We know who he is. We don't doubt that, do we? But the power and authority, what's being done here? Hebrews 2:8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus who was made little lower than an angel. Notice this real carefully. All things are under him. Nothing is excluded, but it just isn't true yet, is it?
Right.
You know, we're not saying we don't have faith in God. We're not saying God can't do anything, but is it happening yet?
No.
Spiritually, we know it's done, don't we? We know the God Almighty of the Bible, it's finished. He's going to have control of the heaven and earth. Okay? But in your spirit, in your heart right now, does he have control of the heaven and earth? Yes. Who's the prince of power of the air? Who's the God of this world?
Satan.
See, we know that. There's going to be a time that it's going to take place. And you know, and the thing is, there's a delay there. There are things to be accomplished before all things are subjected under his earth. We talk about a mystery program. And we talk about how fascinating was that this program right now in the dispensation of grace was not made known by the scriptures. You could not find it, but was hidden God before he even planned that the earth and the prophetic program. Mm-hmm. So we talk about he had this in mind before he had the prophetic program in mind.
Right.
Now wrap your mind around that. Because if you can understand what God is doing today and understand what his purpose was before the world began, all that other stuff slides right in there and fits, and I don't have no problem with it. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Is he worthy? He has the right, doesn't he? Is he the only one can go up to the throne of the Father and take that sealed book?
No.
Could you do it?
No.
Is he the only one who has the power and the right and the privilege of taking the title deed of the universe and exceeding that authority? Mm-hmm. You have to believe that, don't you? You believe it by faith. That's what you see in Revelation chapter 5, verses 4 and 12. Chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. They are looking for someone to take the title deed to the universe, and only the Lamb is worthy. And that's Jesus Christ Almighty. But you see, he hasn't taken that up yet. And that is a future scene, and he comes and formally takes it and receives himself the kingdom, and he gives it back, and he gets back to possess it. That's his purpose. That's authority. That's why we fail. Excuse me. Let me share this with you right quick. You had the universe, and God, I believe God, when he formed it perfect, and then Satan blew a fuse, and one third of the angelic host that God created followed him and believed that lie. Then you have earth, and God formed man out of earth, and he formed it as the image of God, and he breathed through his nostrils, and he became a living soul. Okay? Then what happened to that man? Where was that when sin was first introduced? To who?
Satan.
So sin was already there in the whole universe. And I think about that quite a bit, because you have that power of sin in the universe. Not in the third heaven. There's no sin where God abodes. But through us, and then God creates the earth sitting there, and then that sin comes to this earth. Revelation chapter 11. That what we just read about him coming back and possess it is where we're at in Matthew 28, and they're looking forward to that possession. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and that's right here in the middle of this week, times of Jacob's trouble. And there was a great voice is in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." And he says, "Reign for what?
Ever
and ever." So now you see the kingdoms of this world are who? The Lord's. But where is he at in this time? Is he down here yet?
Nope.
No, he's not down here. So that's when he takes it up. And the day is going to come when Jesus Christ comes back into this universe, and the kingdoms of this world become his, and he will be the King of Kings, and all the kings of the earth will bow down and worship him. That's what the Bible says, right? Amen. He has the right, and he is the only one worthy of that right. You and I could never do it. Adam was supposed to have done that. You know, Adam was supposed to be a prophet, priest, and king. That's the way God designed him to be, to have dominion over the earth. And that was the first Adam, wasn't it? What do we know about Jesus Christ being the
second Adam?
That's the resurrected life. That's who we put our life in. That's his kingdom and what he's going to do in the kingdom. Go back to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. (Clears throat) Verse 24 says, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rised up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter." No man, that's Jesus Christ. Listen to this now. "Can enter into a strong man's house," that's Satan's house. He's talking about this earth. "And spoil his goods, except he first be bind the strong man, and then will he spoil his" what? "House." Go to Luke chapter 4. You with me on this? Jesus Christ is saying, hey, unless there's no man can go into that strong man's house, if you're stronger than mine, am I coming to your house and take the things that you have?
Yes.
I am? If you're stronger than me?
Oh, no.
I'm coming to your house. If I'm stronger than you. Now, just, you know what I mean? We covet our house. Men, you are the head of your house. You're the king of your house. And you protect that house and you protect what's in it. Okay? You're not going to let somebody come through your door or through your windows. You're going to protect it. And that's what you're going to protect that spoils. And that's what he's saying. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Satan talks to Christ and he offers him the kingdom of the world. You know this passage. Luke chapter 4,
verse 6.
All through here is dispensational issues. You got verse 3, it says, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they may be bread." Now, I know what a lot of people says. Satan looked at Jesus Christ in the flesh, people says, well, he really didn't know he was Jesus, so he's questioning him here. And he says, verse 4, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is" what? "Written." Verse 5, "And the devil taking him up on the high mountain showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." That world is that system out there that Satan runs, all the kingdoms of the world. There's a lot of world systems. Well, there's one main system, but there's a lot of within that system, aren't they? We know there's countries out there. Verse 6. "And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is it is delivered to me, and whomsoever will I give it." What did Satan say here?
So whosoever is mine, it belongs to me.
"I will give it to the kingdoms. I will give you the kingdoms of this world and the power thereof, because they are mine." They're mine. And I have won, in other words, he won that contest back there in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Adam gave it to him.
Okay? And he gave him the authority, he gave him the deed of the earth, and God, when God placed man on this earth, and he says, "I overcame him," and that's where it was given me. They are mine to give to anybody I want to give. Jesus Christ didn't dispute that. He just says back there, he says, "And Jesus answered and said, Get me high, me, Satan. It is written." What Jesus Christ does, he uses the word of God. And that's a good verse. That's a good mentality we need. When we go up against people and they're fighting you with your doctrine, they're fighting who Jesus Christ is, you say, "But it's written." You use the words. Because when they see it, they're going to believe it. They're not going to believe you and I. We can talk all day long about this. What we saw, what we didn't see, and what we want to believe, and all that stuff. In order for Christ to take back that authority over the earth, he has to bind the strong man. That is why in Revelation 20, before he sets up his kingdom, what does he do to Satan over here?
He binds him for 1,000 years.
He binds him up. And he sets and binds Satan and casts him to a bottomless pit and sets a seal over it, over that bottomless pit. And at that point, what does Jesus Christ do? He sits on a kingdom for 1,000 years. He owns it. And that's the beginning of the kingdom age, if you think about it. I used to think, well, it's only going to last 1,000 years. You know, it just, that's the beginning of it. And he goes, and before he can come and spoil his house, before he can come and take what belongs to him, Christ binds and defeats Satan. You see where you're at here now? That's how he gets authority. So when you go back to Matthew chapter 28.
Would you say he defeated him at the cross, but he binds him? He binds him there, but he was defeated there?
Well, we know that spiritually he's defeated. But once again, what we just read a few minutes ago, has that authority came yet?
No.
Satan is still the god of this world. Satan's still the prince of the power of the air. Jesus Christ is in royal exile. He's up there with the right hand of the Father. And like we shared before, he is dispensing grace today. He is dispensing, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he's dispensing the reconciliation that we was talking about. To wit, that God was in Christ, not imputing trespasses and sins against you. That's the ministry out there that you tell people he's with peace with the world. And all powers is given unto me in heaven and earth. He is talking about that prophetically. He says, it is mine by right. And I'm going to be the worthy one who venture, and because I've done it at Calvary that you're saying about. That's where he took it. He conquered death, didn't he? Mm-hmm. By virtue of my resurrection. And when I take it up, go ye therefore, because of my coming kingdom. That's what he's telling them. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Everything hangs on verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. It is clear that he doesn't exercise the power in heaven and earth today, does he? How does he work today? Through his word and through the body of Christ, knowing things. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 6, it says that the principalities and powers in heavenly places are in the power of the adversary. That's who has them. And on the earth, Satan is the god of this world and the prince of the world, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. You should know those verses. But Christ, we know he's the rightful king, not only for this earth, but the entire universe. We said this before, and I believe it wholeheartedly, that this book, this Bible, is about a throne. The main theme of the whole Bible is about a throne over the entire universe. It's not just this little bit group of people down here worrying about where we're going to go. It's about the entire universe. And that's huge, guys. And one day he's going to take up the authority, and in view of him being the rightful king of the universe, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That kingdom, that commission fits where? Right there in that kingdom, don't it? Mm-hmm. It is a kingdom commission. And you know, I shared this on Facebook just last night about, they talk about go ye, and they talk about called the Great Commission. You heard that? You're part of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore. So let's all go. Where are you going to go? We're going to collect money and send people to Mexico. Right? Yeah, Belize. We collected money and sent our kids to Belize on a mission trip. I'm thinking, Belize, that's where billionaires go. They speak English there. Don't we have a mission field right here in our backyard? This is where we should go. And I see this all the time, and I see the brothers' hearts. You know, they really have the heart to just want to do God's work, and they're out here doing things. You don't know how close I want to say, we could use some money over here. We could use some tracks. You know, we could use some radio time. You don't have to go down here and spend tens of thousands of dollars. You can do it right here in this area. So the first two letters in the gospel are what? Go. So they tell you, we need to go out. We need to get out there. That's that missionary stuff. We've probably been across the globe on this. Go out and teach all nations. Go out and preach the gospel to every man. But this passage fits where it's going to take place?
Right here in this millennium kingdom.
That's where it fits. And Matthew 28:29 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." You need to write this passage down, that in Numbers chapter 23, I'm going to finish
what
this,
was
guys.
That Matthew, first, you just said?
Matthew 28:19. I'm going to finish this out today, so just bear with me. Not to say we won't come back next week and recap, but anyway, look, this Balaam prophecy against Israel. Numbers chapter 23, verse 9 says this: "From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people," that's Israel, "shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations." Now, you need to look at this very carefully, because God Almighty says that Israel is to be separated from the nations and not to be reckoned to be one of the nations. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Of the earth. There is absolutely no way in a prophetic program that the nation Israel is ever considered in the same breath as all the nations of the earth. I don't care how you slice and dice it. God made a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. There was Jew and Gentile. There was dogs. There was God people. You name it, they did it. God separated them and said, don't number with them. And when they went over and took wives from them, it caused problems and half of them got killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking in Judges 20 and 21 just the other day, and the tribe, you got 12 tribes, and Benjamin didn't go up with them. And you know what they did? They turned on the tribe of Benjamin. And what do you know about Benjamin? Who came from the tribe of Benjamin? On through the prophetic program. So they went up and get against them, and their brothers is going to kill Benjamin, and wipes them about all out, but 600 of them goes running. And they went to the Lord and said, "Lord, do we go up against our brother?" And he said, "Go up against your brother." And they went up and they said, "Do we do? Go up. I tell you, I'm going to deliver him today." So they go up and they kill every one of them but 600. And 600 Benjaminites goes up in the mountains, of men of valor, it says. Then the brothers repented for what to the Lord and said, "What about their inheritance?" See, they knew about a kingdom. They knew their future reward. They knew, and here's a tribe that didn't have no wives. So they went into this town and got 400 virgins for those men. And they brought those virgins up to those 600 soldiers, Benjaminites, and they said, "Hey, this don't suffice us. There's 600 of us, you bring four. We need more." So he goes and he... what I'm trying to say is, then he goes to Shiloh. And there's more out there. And he said, "You lie wait. And these girls going to come out there and dance. And you take them for your wife." See? And the thing is, the prophetic program is moving forward. And he can't do with 11 tribes. You've got to do with 12 tribes. That's what I'm trying to get at. And the fact that he says, "Go ye therefore." And out of all those nations, God preserves that nation Israel to be his kingdom of who? Priests. That's who was. That's the sanctification that God chose them to be, separated from everybody else. Well, they couldn't be if they was out here doing everything else with everybody else. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
You remember when they came out of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude? You know that mixed multitude was just danger for Israel? It caused problems? What kind of problems when Moses went up on a mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and Joshua said, "Hey, I hear war drums beating." And Moses says, "Them ain't war drums. They're down there dancing." That mixed multitude done convinced the nation Israel, say, "Hey, we want to go. You brought us out here to die. Give us your earrings and all that stuff, you know, gold." And they built that calf. And Aaron carved that thing out. And when Moses questioned, what did he say?
We just
throwed it in the fire and poof, it came out. You know, big old liar. But the thing is, what did that mixed multitude do to that nation?
Defiled.
Corrupted them. God could... Moses drawed a line. You know the stories. And if you don't think for 1 minute, you knowing this Bible the way you do, that your mind can't be corrupted by other people out there, you're fooling yourself.
Are you saying that Benny Hinn, when he put them 12 guys up on the stage, who was going to run the kingdom, are you saying that he's wrong?
You're fooling yourself. When Christ says, go ye therefore, who is the ye here?
Israel.
Thank you. Go ye the people of God and teach the nations. Yes, he's wrong. And he is absolutely not including Israel with the nations, guys. I think you know that.
He's talking about Jews in the various nations all over the world.
And he says, go. And the commission is to Israel and to the redeemed nation to go out and teach the Gentile nations too, by the way. If you got to remember, if this commission is for the nation Israel, and God is portraying over here, when they get that commission over here, there's peace, and he says, go out and teach. Now I have all the power. He didn't have it before, did he? Now he's got all the power. He says, go out and teach. And in those nations, there's lost Israelites for sure, but there's also Gentiles. We can never forget a Gentile could have been saved in times past. Right. He can get saved in ages to come. And that the only way you can get that is through that light over there. Mm-hmm. The only way a Gentile and a Jew gets saved today is through the light that's coming out of you, the gospel, the grace of God. So that commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What about Israel? Why don't ye teach Israel?
They got it in their heart.
Hebrews chapter 8. Turn there. Hebrews chapter 8. And I might have to close here and then pick it up next time. I'm sorry, but there's so much. This is where the rubber meets the road, because now you're going to see what that commission is all about and that you're not a part of it. But Hebrews chapter 8, what about Israel? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. Finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, who's he talking about here? The body of Christ, right?
No.
He ain't talking about the body of Christ. We're gone. And verse 11, and they, you got to look at this very careful. And they shall teach every man.
They shall not teach.
Wait a minute now.
Not teach.
That's right. Wait a minute. Didn't he commission them to go teach all? They're not going to teach Israel, the saved Israel. They're going to know it.
Right.
And he says, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Now, where does that take place at? Over there.
Kingdom.
I guarantee you went out there and teach your brothers and sisters today that in the tribes of Israel that wants to be in there. They don't know who Jesus Christ is the way that God says they will. They ain't writ, he has not writ them on their minds and hearts.
That's a footstool.
In the kingdom, the nation Israel is going to be converted. And they won't go about and teach every man his neighbor, because every man's neighbor is going to know the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wouldn't that be wonderful today that you can go out and talk to everybody and they know the God of creation and knows your Apostle Paul and knows that he's dispensing the grace, and it's that the death, burial, and resurrection is what you're teaching today. And that you're seated in heavenly places today, that you have all spiritual blessings today, that you're one with God today, that Jesus Christ is the head of a body today, and that you're part of that body today, and that you, and then, and that, you know, all this. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Preach.
Yeah, what would you do?
Fellowship.
You'd have to go find somebody else that didn't do that. That's what this is about. They're going to the nations now. And And Israel will be the missionary enterprise that goes out and teaches the nations when Christ reigns. And the reason they're going to know the Lord from the least to the greatest is because He is going to put His Spirit on them and write the law in their hearts. You know something? I'm going to say this boldly. You should have the law of God in your heart. You should have it. You should know what's right and wrong. There's a law of Christ out there that Paul preaches that's different than the law of the Ten Commandments. I'm not saying that. There's a law today that tells you how to govern yourself, who you are in Christ, how to walk and talk. That's what's going on today. And he puts a new covenant blessings in that nation that is entirely converted at that time. And the little flock is not going to have to teach themselves. So convert, redeemed Israel is going to say, go ye and teach the nations. Hey, I wholeheartedly believe that when Jesus Christ sits on that throne, all the nation of Israel that believed Him, okay, came out here and got resurrected and sitting on that throne and all that stuff, they know who He is. They're not going to have no worry about believing. They're not going to be able to sin. They're not going to be able to condemn. They're going to be able, they're in their hearts. So who do they go out and teach? The Gentiles.
Lost.
That's the lost, not the lost Israel. Because everybody that's saved in Israel is going to be saved right there. There ain't going to be no more Israelites that's been hiding under rocks. They go to the Gentiles, the nations out here.
Well, I thought you was talking about the Gentiles, that there's all going to be saved by the Jews teaching.
Well, wait a minute. No, not all. They go out, just because I go out and preach and teach, does that mean you're going to believe it?
Well, yeah, you said that all men will know it in their hearts.
That's Israel. That's Israel.
Well, I thought it was Israel.
Okay, well, that's what it says. Israel. And so Israel's going to be saved. You're not going to take that away from them. So when he sits on that kingdom, he goes out and preaches to all the nations. He goes out and teaches them.
Yeah, that's his enemies. He's still here.
Yeah, all the Gentiles for 1,000 years. Then he lets loose, and we'll pick up this next time. Then he lets the strong man loose again. And the ones that didn't believe in their heart, what did they do?
They follow
who?
Satan.
Not Israel.
Right.
You're not going to take Israel out of here, out of this picture no more. Israel's not going to follow no more. He writ it in their hearts. Excuse me. He written it in his hearts.
Is that the... Okay? Is that the connotation to the Ezekiel verse where he says he'll take their stony heart and flesh out and give them
all that
heart?
Takes place, yes. Right over there. All that problem. But once again, Israel will be saved over there. You're not going to affect Israel. That's why he says, go ye teach what the nations.
They're being born again.
So he goes out here and teaches, and some believes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just like you do today. They believe. And then the ones that don't believe, they follow Satan. And then they go to the judgment seat.
Okay, right. Okay, yep.
Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.